welcome to the NARPM Podcast, where we bring you the most in-depth look into the property management industry. We discuss hot topics with property managers, vendors, and those that support the property management industry. The National Association of Residential Property Managers is the recognized leader in property management. Our host is Pete Neubig, co-founder of Empire Industries Property Management and co-founder and CEO of VPM Solutions, where property management meets global talent. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are that of the host and are not necessarily those of NARPM. Now, here's your host, Pete Neubig.
Welcome to the NARPM Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Pete Neubig, and like always, just want to thank you for taking the time to download and listen to this podcast. I hope you get some value out of each and every episode. I know I love bringing it to you and listening and interviewing some incredible people, and I hope you like that we mix it up every once in a while and have some mashups or some multiple folks on the program. Today, I have a good friend of mine, Taylor Haas. Taylor runs a family-owned company called Colorado Realty and Property Management that's out there in Colorado. And Taylor is becoming kind of a speaker herself. She's been speaking at Lead Simple Conference last December. I know she spoke at the PM Workflow Conference, and she is really becoming a shooting star in the property management industry. So have a great conversation with Taylor here coming up after these messages. But first, I want to get into my hot topic of the day. So if you're not listening, if you're not watching or looking for the NARPM National Reports, there's some really interesting stuff going on, you know, in those reports. And so I'm looking here at a report that I found pretty interesting. So in some communities, and so this is one from Sedona, they're having big challenges with short-term rentals, right? More and more people are getting into the Airbnb game. I don't know if that bubble has bursted just yet, but there's more and more people getting into the Airbnb game. And obviously, if you rent out Airbnb versus long-term, you can make a lot more money. And in Sedona, the median home price in Sedona is now more than $1.2 million, which is more than 16%. Up from a year ago. And what's happening is people are buying those homes and they're renting them out Airbnb. And now there's no place for people to rent that support the industry, right? That have to live locally. And so all these people, yeah, you rent out your Airbnb, but now people who are your servers when you go to restaurants or whenever you order attractions, they can't actually live in the city because they either can't afford the rent or there's no place to rent. And so the Sedona housing manager, her name is Shannon Boone, is just saying that they're having a real challenge with housing prices, and rents and house payments start around $1,800 a month, which is more than the workforce that for tourism and retail can afford. So what they're doing is they are trying to create an incentive, a cash incentive, anywhere from $6,000 to $10,000 if you take your short-term property and you change it into a one-year lease and you have a long-term property. And the pilot program evidently only received a handful of applicants. And what they found was that most people that had this Airbnb said, "We know how to do Airbnb on my computer. I have no idea how to be a landlord." So they're trying to figure out how to rework the program to attract more applicants and provide better housing options. But this is, you know, this is a big challenge. I know I have a good buddy of mine lives in Steamboat Springs. It's a challenge there. It's a challenge in lots of communities in Colorado that I know, where people who need to work and support can't live there. I was in Montana. I was in Big Sky, Montana visiting, and they're literally having to build, the hotels are buying land and building apartment complexes so that they can house the people that work there. They can give them housing because nobody can live in that area because of the same challenge here, right? Everybody's Airbnb in it. There's no long-term rentals. And so there's no affordable place to live or no places at all to live. So I found this very interesting article. I don't know how many of you guys do Airbnb, but I do know it's more of a buzzword. There's more and more people managing Airbnbs. There's more and more people buying and doing Airbnb. And you see now that there are some towns where it's causing some potential challenges. So I thought that was really interesting. All right, we'll be right back after these messages with Taylor Haas. Tired of wasting hours stuck in traffic running between your properties? Well, do we have the solution for you? ShowDigs is more than just a full-service leasing automation software. They employ over 2,000 licensed real estate agents specifically trained to show your properties on demand. Here's how it works. You list your properties through ShowDigs, and when a lead inquires to tour, ShowDigs' automation allows them to self-schedule a time that works for them. A local ShowDigs agent will accept the tour request through the ShowDigs app, and once they've shown the property, you'll receive a detailed tour report straight into your inbox. Want to learn how ShowDigs can save you time and money without compromising your conversion rates? Head over to showdigs.com/narpum to learn more about the only leasing software that can handle all of your field work. Fill out the form, and when you sign up for ShowDigs, you'll get to activate your first 5 properties for free. Once again, showdigs.com/narpum.
Did you know that most tenants struggle to come up with a large sum of money needed to move into their new rental home? Let Renters Insurance Solutions help you solve this problem by giving tenants another option for security deposits. Property managers can make up to $200 per door annually with our programs. Learn more at our website, yourris.com. That's yourris.com. Renters Insurance Solutions, your experts in property management and insurance.
All right, welcome back to the NARPA Radio. As promised, I have my good friend Taylor Haas here. Taylor has actually made it down to Houston. So Taylor, thank you so much for being here and giving us some time on the NARPA podcast.
Absolutely.
All right, so a lot of people have been asking me a lot about communication lately. And so I know this was a challenge. You and I had talked offline about this was a challenge that you guys had, especially right after COVID. You guys are at around 1,200 doors. And there's a lot of communication coming in, and it was overwhelming the team. And so you wanted to solve that challenge, and we're still solving it, but you're kind of getting there, or you're almost there. Mm-hmm. But what I want to talk, let's take a step back, and I want to talk about what did you have, like, you know, at 300-400 units, what was that communication like when, you know, when somebody was reaching out, like inbound communication, and then where have you progressed it to?
Absolutely. So yeah, we originally started where in our office, every single person had a phone on their desk. And when someone called the main line, it would ring every single phone in the office. And we had to answer that phone within the first 3 rings. So it was either based on who was available or we would, you know, say, hey, it's your turn. You have to answer it. And so we actually did it that way up until about 800 units. And then at 800 units, that's when it got real tough.
That is insane. We stopped that around 300 units, the whole phone ringing, and the phone rings so much, like, you know, and then of course everybody's like, well, I answered it 14 times last time, you know, so I can see how that can be a challenge. So you outgrew the bat phone, right? Like all the phones are ringing. What was the next progression in that?
Yeah, next progression, we hired 2 remote team members to be our company's receptionists. So ultimately, the phone would ring their 2 extensions. And depending on who was available, it was first come, first served to answer those phones. Based on what the call was, they would then put people on hold and then transfer it to the appropriate person.
Okay, so obviously there's a lot to unpack there. First question is, did they have a KPI on answer rate, I'm assuming?
Yes.
Right.
Answer rate, missed calls.
So what was the answer rate percentage? Do you remember? Because I noticed a few years back, it was like over 90%.
Yes. Honestly, yeah. We had 2 receptionists. We probably could have had 3 because some calls still made it through, but yes.
Okay. So if they didn't answer, then it went to a voicemail. Mm-hmm. So not a call tree at this point. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the other question I have is they weren't answering calls. They were answering the phone and they were just traffic copying the call to the right person.
Exactly. Okay. Yes.
So there are people right now that are looking to hire remote team members to do this or have somebody do this. So tell me, like, how'd you get them up to speed, so to speak? Because you can't just have somebody just answer the phone. I mean, we try to have answering service companies and they don't answer. Like they answer, but they do is leave a message. So tell me what that structure looked like.
Yes. So with training, it was honestly a lot of learning of who did what in our company. We're set up on a pod structure, which we can, of course, talk about. But with having a pod structure, there are multiple different people that manage different portfolios of properties. We all have different responsibilities. So that was like first the hardest part. Someone would be like, hey, I have a question on my work order. And someone would call me. I don't do anything with maintenance.
Right. And or then, they could send it to a different property manager who that's not their portfolio.
Exactly.
I'm guessing. Okay.
Yes.
So first thing is you had to figure out who actually maintained what properties.
Yes. And then after that, we use AppFolio. So then it was going in and then learning how to be able to look up basic questions like, hey, did you get my rent? Or, you know,
how much do I owe?
Yes. Right? When does my lease expire? Yeah. Stuff like that. So then that was easy. And then we built out a super robust KPIs that are also on our website. But then if someone would call in and be like, oh, you know, my credit score is XYZ, could I be approved? They would go through the KPIs and could answer those basic questions. But
so they were answering leasing, potential leasing calls as well.
Yes.
Which is always scary because that's when fair housing comes into play. So there's a lot of training there as well.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you not only did you train how to direct the call, but then after that, you trained them on the top call of 10 questions on how to answer basic questions. So this way, you're not bothering the property manager, maintenance coordinator, whatever. They can actually look in the system and answer the questions.
Yep.
So why do you not do that today? Like what happened there? And or are you still doing that today?
No, we're not doing that today. Ultimately, having the receptionist was huge because it took the burden off of having to like stop what you're doing in the middle of something, take a phone call, refocus and go again from like our property managers and our team. But
and they say, by the way, even if that call lasts 3 minutes, you lose over 20 minutes of time just because of the having to reset.
Yeah, exactly. And so we stopped doing that only because our call volume continued to increase. So then two people wasn't enough. And then we also found that, and of course, this is probably a training issue, but our receptionist would be like, someone's on the phone right now. They're irate. They refuse to hang up. You have to talk to them. So then.
So you get an escalations.
Yes.
So they didn't know how to de-escalate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So yeah. So let's talk about this. Because if you just keep hiring more receptionists, because the call volume just keeps increasing, eventually, you have to hire all the operations people because obviously those are tasks that need to be done and it's going to more and more people. And then all of a sudden, you're just literally just hiring a bunch of people and you're not making any profit.
Right.
Right. So how did you decide to focus on which calls first? Like, did you focus on owner incoming calls, tenant incoming calls? Were there a certain, did you just kind of like, how'd you review all the call volume and what did you decide to attack first?
First thing we decided to attack, I wouldn't say it was owner versus tenants. It was honestly just call volume and answer rate. So just making sure that we weren't getting any calls dropped. So 2 years ago, first time in our company history, we did develop a call tree and we tried to keep it as simple as possible. It was press one if you're an owner looking to hire a property manager, two to schedule a showing, and three for everything else. So we tried to kind of segue them as easy as we could with just three buttons.
Okay.
And yes.
No, go ahead. I went the other way, so I want to see what the results are before I comment.
Yes. So people would pick one of those three options, and so if it was number one, it went directly to our business development team. So that was live answered within three rings, no problem. And then scheduling a showing.
Who's answering that? Did you have an inside sales VA to answer all that stuff, or was it your BDMs that were answering it?
Directly BDMs.
Direct to BDMs. Mm-hmm. Okay. Round robin or
all simultaneous.
Simultaneous. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so when that phone rings, that's money. So you didn't have any issues getting that phone to get answered.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Even after hours?
After hours, if someone calls in, no, it goes to voicemail. Our business development managers are available. If a lead were to come into the system and it pings you, you could then outbound call them. But after hours, no, not live answer.
Okay. So just break that down. Did you lose business that way, or did you see it stayed about the same versus having the person physically answer the call?
About the same. Honestly, we've done it that way forever, and we
okay. So no change there. All right. Mm-hmm. So now that was number one. Number two, they hit what?
Number two was to schedule a showing, and so this actually went directly to our like tenant turner like call line number,
mm-hmm.
where it would walk them through how to schedule a showing,
which is massive because. When we looked at our call volume, It was the 80-20 rule. 80% of it was people looking to lease a property. That was the first thing that we kind of offloaded. And I'll give a shout out to my boys over at Virtually Incredible. They were virtually incredible on answering those calls. And so, and they work with Tenant Turner, which we had. Big shout out to my boys at Tenant Turner. Love them as well. And so when we did that, our call volume went down dramatically. Mm-hmm. And then, but it didn't, but it still was too much for us. Right. So now you get rid of those leasing calls by doing that. Did you get any negative reviews or any negative customer satisfaction scores because they couldn't get to you directly and they had to go through that one, you know, line of call tree?
No, the negative effect that occurred is then they just pressed one and they got a business development manager. So, because everybody knows salespeople picks up the phone. So that was what was happening.
So what was supposed to happen? If they hit three, who was supposed to answer?
Three would go to our two receptionists, remote team members that we had hired. Mm-hmm. And so then that call volume was smaller. And so they would take those calls. And knowing if what it was just like an owner or a tenant, they would then be able to check in our system of what portfolio. So
the former process you had basically engaged.
Yes.
Okay. So obviously we can't have everybody hit one and salespeople answer. So did you flip one to the receptionist and three to sales, or what'd you do to solve this challenge?
Yeah. So what we did to solve the challenge is we then had all of the calls. Like if someone pressed one for new business, it would still go to a receptionist to get screened, make sure it truly was a sales call. And then it would go to business development or it would go to a property manager.
Okay. So that probably worked like a fart in an elevator. So... So, all right. So I'm sure that was short-lived. So now what was the solution after that?
Now it's still just back to one in business development manager's answer.
Okay. Interesting. All right. So how many calls come in just from current clients, residents, owners, vendors, like just that would come to the property manager firm, not new business, not, you know, listing calls, you know, application leasing calls, whatever. Like what's that call volume look like?
Yeah, around 30% are current owners and 30% are current tenants.
Really?
And then everything else is other applications.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay. And do you know about how many calls a month you guys are getting? Mm-hmm. Okay. Is it like 1,000?
It's 1,200.
1,200 calls. Okay. All right. That's a lot of calls. Yeah. All right. So let's break it down here. Obviously, if you hire like a Virtually Incredible type solution, the number can go directly to Virtually Incredible. They never see your team. That's 30% gonzo. You can have a separate number that goes to the round robbing of the salespeople, and that's another 30% gone. So now you have 40% of calls that come in inbound. It's still at 1,200. That's 400 calls or around there. It's still a lot of flipping calls.
It's a ton of calls. And actually, to your point, like we tried in the last few years, we've tried three different receptionist companies. So one was we had way too much call volume for what they could handle. And mm-hmm. I don't think they knew that when we had gone through the onboarding process. Right. And so that was a disaster. And then number two, we hired a company that is just a receptionist company. They're nationally known. But the problem is...
They just take messages.
They just take messages and they wouldn't understand the importance of like warrant of habitability or these big things.
What's an emergency versus non-emergency, right? And they just take a message and that's it, right? And I think they're great for after hours and only after hours. I don't think you can have one for during hours.
No.
So the first thing we did is we said, hey, let's get Virtually Incredible. Let's get them a different number and let's get the easy stuff out of the way, right? Boom. All those phone calls stopped ringing at our desk. Mm-hmm. The second thing we did is we had the same issue. We had a call tree. I don't like call trees. I hate them. I hate them when I'm calling as a consumer. So I was adamant that we get out of the call tree at some capacity. But it's like, how? Like we have so many calls coming in. So how we did it was we got different numbers. And the sale, and then what we did is we had Virtually Incredible answer the leasing calls. We had our virtual assistants. So what we did is we had inside sales reps. And the inside sales rep would answer the calls for sales or the emails for sales. This way my salespeople, if they were selling, they couldn't answer the phone. And that's lost money. So the inside salespeople are the ones that answered the phone, got the basic information, found out if it was a good lead or not, and then put a scheduling on the calendar. Right. So now my receptionist, because I did have a receptionist, those are two calls that they would never, that they didn't have, never had to answer. Mm-hmm. But now you have, we had a lot of call volume as well. So now you have that 40%. So now it's 400 calls, right? So what we did is we analyzed and we said, why are calls coming in? Mm. Why are they coming in? And what we found was the reason why so many calls are coming in, because we were sending lots of emails out that said, call us
if you have questions.
And they took us up on it. And the emails that we would send out, as I went back and started reviewing, now granted, yours truly wrote them, right? But as I went back and I started rereading them, I'm like, holy crap, this is like four paragraphs. So no one's going to read four paragraphs. What they're going to read is the last line that says, call us if you have any questions, mm-hmm. right? Or call us for more information. So we were creating the call volume.
Yeah.
So what we did is we took those emails and we made them three bullet points. And guess what we did not say?
Call us.
We did not say call us. We did not provide a phone number, right? We gave them the information because at the end of the day, we're just giving you, here's the bullet point. Here's what's going on type stuff. If we need to reach out to you, we're going to reach out to you. And so we were able to do that through all of our processes and we reduced the call volume. Then the next thing we realized is, you probably get this, once owner statements go out, does your call volume go up?
Yep. First of the month and the 15th.
What are you doing to reduce those calls? Is there anything that you found that is working?
Gosh, I would say alternative to what you did. We tried to make our emails, not necessarily paragraphs long, but like heavy hitting with the information that they need to know. Again, trying to avoid phone calls. And a philosophy that we talk about in our company all the time is the why. Owners and tenants are children sometimes, right? Every time they call in, it's like, why? Why can't I evict my tenant? What do you mean there's a law? Why is there that? You know, so it was all of the anticipation of the why. So whenever we like leave a message or we write an email, we are anticipating the future why, so it doesn't happen, so they don't call. So I wouldn't necessarily say we've like solved it and figured anything out, because we still have super high call volume, but we try and do that. The other thing that we've recently started,
and you're building those in templates, correct? Or templates. Or yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep. So if these why questions have to be answered, template one, these why questions, template two, right? So yes. This way you don't have to rebuild the wheel every time.
Yeah. Exactly. And we like, and we use Lead Simple. Shout out to Lead Simple. During certain processes that occur in the lifetime of the property management cycle, like for instance, for marketing, we send every single owner every 7 days that the property is on the market. Why? Because your owners call in and they're like, why isn't my property rented? What's the feedback? What's kind of the movement? So we just do that anyway. So they hopefully don't call.
Right.
And then same if, you know, we're doing like a lease break process, like owners again have concerns, they're out of pocket, things like that. And also tenants with maintenance, we use property mails to do follow-ups and stuff like that. So anticipation.
Yep. I love it. Yeah. We decided less is more sometimes. Bullet points. We used video. We started using video. So we might have some templated videos in a template email, or we would just send a you know, obviously for a lot of stuff, it was templates. And if we had to, we'd send a quick video, and that was reducing call volume. But what we did is we looked at our call volume and we said, okay, these, you know, after the processes and we broke that down, we changed our emails and then we went back and we said, okay, where's the call volume coming? And this is like a long, this is every month we're looking at it, right? So it's not mm-hmm. like every day. It's like, we got to let it burn in and we got to see what's coming in. And then when we see, hey, this is the most call volume, that's the thing that we attacked first, mm-hmm. right? And so for us, if you're listening out there, when your owner statements go out, my assumption after talking to many of you out there is your call volume goes up.
Yep.
The challenge with that is the call volume goes up over a very short period of time, right? On, like you said, on the 1st and the 15th, right?
Yeah.
For us, we sent out our owner payments out there, or our owner statements out there, like on the 5th, right? That meant like that about 60% or 40% of our call volume happened on the 5th, the 6th, and the 7th, mm-hmm. right? So you have this massive amount. And then of course you can't get in touch with people, right? So, and mainly the main reason why people call on the when the owner's name goes out is why they're not getting the money they thought they were getting. Yep. So there was a charge somewhere in the month. That's the only reason, because if they're expecting $24.95 and they get $24.95, there's no phone call, right?
100%. Yeah. All right.
So what we decided to do and this is a slippery slope here. Maintenance is the number one reason why there is a issue with the amount of money that they're getting, right? We've processed something and paid something. So early on, I made the mistake of informing the owner about a maintenance request when it was created. And that created a lot of call volume. So I stopped that. So they didn't get notified when it got created. Then I didn't notify them at all. Well, now when they get the bill or when they get their payout or their statement, now I get a call on the back end. And now, I'm getting them all at one time. So what we decided to do is we decided to notify them once we paid a bill. So the maintenance comes in, we handle it. We're not co-managing the maintenance, right? We handle it. We send our guys out there. We troubleshoot. It's below the threshold. We pay it. We send them an invoice. Or we send them, hey, you're going to get dinged. Now that generated a phone call, right? So my call volume overall didn't go down, but what I did is I spread it out over the month, if that makes sense, right? So instead of getting 40% of volume of call on the 5th, 6th, and 7th, I'm getting it throughout the month as these invoices go down. And some people would call again on the 5th, believe it or not. And other people never called at all because they saw the note, they saw it, they got it. And then they're like, oh yeah, I got that deal. I got that invoice. I knew I was going to get, reduced at that point.
Yep.
So is that something that you guys are starting to do? You're starting to analyze calls, or am I just anal and I'm analyzing everything too much?
No, absolutely. We definitely are. If you don't know what calls you're getting, how can you solve a problem? So no, we definitely are. I would say we probably over communicate and tell them to please call us if you have any questions versus not.
So right here, Pete, the coach, is going to tell you, stop doing that.
Yeah. And I mean, I'll 100% admit we have a ton of calls and we have cut things here and there and improve the customer experience as if they were calling in, but it's still not perfect. Like we still get a lot of calls. We still get people that are like, I called 16 times and no one called me back. Like there's still feedback by that coming through.
Yeah. One of the things that for some reason we have this mindset over, like, if you're not calling people or they're not calling you and you're answering, like you need a lot of communication to provide good customer service. And the thing is, you don't need a lot of communication. You just need the right communication. And if you can reduce those calls and never hear from your owner, that's a good thing, right? And then if you can flip it where you're not so reactive because you're not getting all these calls, and then your team can actually call that owner just to say, hey, Pete, it's Taylor. What's up? Taylor, what's going on? What's going on with the property? Nothing, man. I'm just calling to tell you what's up. And hey, just want to let you know, if you want to do a portfolio analysis, we're doing that. We can do it for free, blah, 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 whatever it is, right? And now you could, because every time you call one of your owners, I promise you, they get what's called agita. What agita is?
The
stomach ache. Agita is a stomach ache. Oh, crap. It's my property manager. Either as an eviction, a water leak, a lawsuit. What's going on my property? Because we don't ever call with good news. So if you can reduce the inbound calls, your team can get more work done. They can then become proactive, and then you can actually make proactive calls to your owners. So what are the, as far as call volume on the resident side, what's the number one calls from the resident side of things? Is it maintenance?
Yeah, it's definitely maintenance related I would say maintenance related. And then second after that has to do with rent.
Right. Okay. So on the maintenance side, now it's hard to reduce those calls if they're the way you reduce those calls would be how would you reduce a call? Cause if they're calling about a maintenance request, like they want to put one in, do you accept that? Or do you have to go through the portal at Colorado Realty?
Mm-hmm. We will accept a call and put it in and then just let them know that they have to do it in their portal the next time. We don't want to shut them down, but we're trying to teach the behavior we want.
Got it. Yeah. You don't want to say, oh, you have bad behavior. Go ahead. And we're going to do this for you. So you're trying to redirect them. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then do you get a lot of calls because they're not sure what's going on with the maintenance request, or has Property Milled kind of solved a little bit of that for you because they're getting notifications through the chat and the texting and all that stuff?
Yeah, no, I would definitely say Property Milled has helped to solve that. I know for us specifically, it's helped to solve communication breakdowns because the tenant will be like, I've never even heard from this vendor. And we can go in and say, well, they texted you 4 or 5 times. You haven't replied. But no, especially with maintenance, I think maintenance makes or breaks an owner and a tenant experience, because as tenants, they expect immediate response. They have super high expectations. And so sometimes they're not satisfied with what the vendor says. It's not complete to what they wanted. You know, I think people always want to call in with frustrations versus putting that into property mails.
But you should be able to reduce that amount, right? Because not everybody, right? Yeah. It's probably what, 10, 20% of the people need to be heard regardless.
Yeah.
Even if everything goes perfect, it's not perfect.
Yes.
Right? right? Especially on the higher end properties, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So as our rents increase, which they have been, I know I've heard they're flattening out now. We're recording this in November of 2023. I heard they're flattening out now, but over the last 2-3 years, rents have gone up, and with rents going up, people demand just more service, better service, or on demand service.
Yep.
Right? People don't even go to the movies anymore. They just on demand, right? So they want on demand service. So how can we get our property management firms to be on demand service? It's really hard. Yep. Right? Because we're a service-based industry, so it's really hard. All right. So, all right. A lot of people have been asking me about owner communication. Where do you stand on owner communication? Are you, where an owner can call anybody in your organization, or they have one person? Is just like, do you just have like one person that's dedicated to owner communication, or is it inbound? They talk to only one person, but outbound, everybody can talk to them. Like, how do you guys handle owner communication?
Mm-hmm. So we are set up as departmental. So every owner has a maintenance, leasing, and accounting contact. And okay. So we don't have a single point of contact for our owners. Based on what the call is regarding, one of the three people will take the inbound or outbound call them to get it resolved.
Okay, so outbound, that makes sense to me, right? The leasing person's reaching out to the owner, talk about, hey, do we want to reduce this property, right? Or, hey, should we do this upgrade to this property? So I get that. But now let's say the owner calls and he's got three questions. He's got a leasing question, he's got a billing question, and he's got a maintenance question.
Mm.
How does that work?
Yes. So our team is cross-trained as best as they can to answer the majority of questions. I mean, obviously specifics, if something is going on, then that is a transfer. This is something we specifically work on, that instead of playing the hot potato of where you just hand an owner off 3 times or in an email, it's like, oh, I forwarded your email to so-and-so. We've tried to do it where one person takes responsibility. So if that owner does have 3 questions, I know 2 out of the 3, I could transfer it over. But if that owner has those 3 questions, I only know 1 of the questions. We have our team basically say, let me put you on hold real quick. Let me get the answers to those questions. And then they come back. We don't want our owners to feel A, like we're too siloed in what each person does, or B, that they have to go through this whole chain of events to get questions answered.
Okay, I like that. So basically, if somebody calls, you answer, you have 2 answers, you're going to put them on hold and try to get the 3rd answer. If you can't get that 3rd answer, are you going to create hey, let me get back to you tomorrow at this time, and let's create do you guys do scheduled appointments at that point? Or are you just like, hey, I'm just going to call you tomorrow? The reason why I ask is what we have found is we tried that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, look, some of it is on me and how I train the team, and I get all that. But what happened was, so, you know, somebody would get the call. They're supposed to own it. They're going to get that information to you. Jim will call you tomorrow. And then that call never happens.
Yeah.
That makes an owner so angry.
Mm-hmm.
I found, and it made me angry too. You know, I'm like, you said you're going to call me and you don't. And then you forget about it. Best intentions.
Yep.
Right. So one of the things that we did was we told the team, schedule an appointment the next day.
That's good.
And mm-hmm. So that's, you know, now it's on their calendar. And then those sons of guns didn't show up to the appointment. So what I know.
Oh, yep.
Not the owner, my team. Not the owner, my team. You know, so then guess who's getting pulled in at that point?
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know if there's one solution fits all, but are your owners seem happier with this solution where I call the one person, they go out and they kind of get the answers for me?
Yes. I think owners always want a single point of contact. And I think, like, with our company being departmental, like, we teach them that like the benefits of this and this is why it works, but they will always revert to that one person on the team out of those three people who they trust the most.
Yep.
So even if I have a question on maintenance and your maintenance, they're going to call, we do small talk, blah, blah, blah. And then I'll still be like, hey, let me transfer you on over to Pete. Pete really is the best person to answer that. So
right.
I think that happens, but
the challenge though, is if you transfer me over to,
and I don't answer
and it doesn't answer, that's the problem, right?
Yeah.
What we ended up doing is we ended up putting everybody's calendar on their signature. And we would actually say, if you have a call, you want to schedule a call, you know, we were nervous to do that, to be quite frank, because we thought, oh my goodness, our property manager, all they're going to have is just owner calls. Didn't happen. Didn't happen. Very, very few people took advantage of that situation. But then what we had is we actually had a, like everybody had everybody's calendar link. So we didn't even have to do a transfer. We could say, hey, Let me get you. Pete's the best person to answer that. I'm looking at his calendar now. He's available tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Does that work for you?
Yeah.
And good. So we started going to a scheduling model and it really worked very well. So,
that's
all right. So let's talk about vendor communication, because a lot of this vendor communication doesn't really get talked about a lot. So when vendors call in, do they have a main number they call in, or do they have direct contact with the maintenance coordinators and then they just reach out to those guys and then escalate from there? How does it go?
Yeah, so vendors can call the office and they can be warm transferred to one of our maintenance coordinators. I would say most of the vendors that we work with have the personal phone numbers of our maintenance team. So that way they're calling and texting them with them directly and then not having to go through the phone tree.
Do vendor issues get escalated to people inside maintenance, or does it go from maintenance to you?
And so when you say a vendor escalation, is that someone complaining about a vendor or a vendor having complaints?
How about a vendor complaining about how you guys are doing stuff? You guys are sending me to 14 different properties, never giving me any kind of work, or I try to call your team, they never answer when I'm on site, like things of that nature. What does that look like?
Yeah, those types of calls are escalated up to our maintenance manager. So luckily I don't have to take those phone calls, but they and Billy would communicate about that directly. And then Billy would solve pretty much every single vendor in our company has our maintenance manager's contact information, and that's how kind of complaints go through him.
Got it. I could talk to you all day about this stuff, but we're up against it. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then, Taylor, the lightning round. Are you ready for the lightning round? The lightning round. All right, we'll be right back, everybody.
Have you ever considered hiring a property management virtual assistant but didn't know where to start? Or have you tried hiring a virtual assistant but you weren't satisfied with the number of qualified applicants? If so, VPM Solutions is here to help. VPM is the world's first virtual talent marketplace dedicated specifically to property management and real estate. We have thousands of talented virtual assistants ready to work for you, including assistants for accounting, leasing, maintenance coordination, rent collections, and much more. With VPM, you can post jobs, screen candidates, hire, and pay your virtual assistants, all from within our state-of-the-art platform. VPM is the easy button for hiring and managing your virtual team. And the best part? VPM Solutions is 100% free to employers. That's right, free. No placement fees, no employer markups, and no hidden charges. With VPM, property managers get the talent they need while reducing costs and improving customer service. Visit vpmsolutions.com and create your free account today.
PestShare, a pest control amenity for your resident benefits program, starting at just $5 per door. You can give your residents the pest control coverage they need. PestShare will even pay for the expensive infestations like bed bugs and cockroaches. And the debate over who pays for pest control, while PestShare turns an expense into added revenue. For more information, check out their website at PestShare.com/property managers.
Create the best move-in experience for your resident or homeowner. Citizen Home Solutions is a utility concierge service designed to assist with services needing activation prior to moving into a new home. Our experienced team will help eliminate the stress of setting up services. No more calling a long list of service providers to get everything connected and ready for move-in day. Your client will value the white glove service provided on your behalf. True, Citizen Home Solutions assist with utilities, but more importantly, We create an experience that your client will appreciate and love. Our service is free and offers you a revenue share program. Want to know more? Visit pmcpartner.com.
All right, we're back. We got the lightning round, Taylor. You ready?
Ready.
Put my glasses on.
Let
I'm sure
rip.
You are one of the four people that download the NARPM podcast, so I'm sure you know what the lightning round's all about. Here we go. What PM software do you use?
AppFolio.
What is your current org structure?
Departmental.
Do you use virtual assistants?
Yes.
Do you have BDMs?
Yes.
What is the stupidest thing you've done when you started your business?
Probably having the wrong people in the wrong seats for too long.
That's a good one. Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Heck yeah.
Man, that hurts me. We're not eating pizza while you're here in Houston. What is your ideal vacation?
Somewhere with a beach.
What is something that most people don't know about you?
Gosh, as a kid, I used to be an incredible horseback rider. I actually won the world championship title when I was 8 years old in Louisville, Kentucky against 26-year-olds. I was supposed to go to the Olympics.
I did not know that about you. That is a great one. All right. Well, the next question is, what is one success you had in your life, but other than that one, where you almost went to the Olympics?
Yes, one success in my life. Oh, that's a tough one. Gosh, throwing it out there. Went to college, bought a house.
All before 30.
All before 30, yes.
Nicely done. What is one challenge you're facing in your business, other than call volume? That we just talked about for an hour.
Gosh.
And if you want to say call volume, I'll let you off the hook.
I'd say probably just customer and client satisfaction. So call volume ties into that.
All right. What do you prefer, cats or dogs?
Cats.
You're a cat person. All right. I like it. All right. Well, listen, if you are not part of NARPM and you would like to join NARPM, please give them a call at 800-782-3452 or go to NARPM, NARPM.org. And if you, like Taylor, need virtual assistance, go to vpmsolutions.com. We have over 30,000 people looking for work. We have free training that's property management related. And yeah, you could find them, hire them, source them, and pay them all through our platform with no cost to you. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next time.
This has been a production of the National Association of Residential Property Managers, the recognized leader in property management, along with your host, Pete Neubig, CEO of VPM Solutions, where property management meets global talent. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are that of the host and are not necessarily those of NARPM. If you have a hot topic you'd like discussed on the podcast, please email us at radio@narpm.org.